Sorry about that. It's June 3rd, 2013, UFF, UWF bargaining. I'm Brendan Kelly.
I'm Mike Matamore.
I'm Anita Schoenberger.
Jessity Hobbs.
Susan Walsh.
Steve Balco.
Kathy Romack.
Enid Siston.
Tom Waslevic.
Dean DeBoer.
Izad Bakun.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Okay, we have a counter proposal for you today, but I just want to begin with, you know, just a few reminders. And we passed you a number of quotes and things. And I guess what I would like to begin by doing is kind of going over some of the points that we've made regarding the importance of fixing compression and the university's commitment to fixing compression.
Sure.
And I because I'm trying to get my head around, where you guys are standing and what the rationale is behind the very low offer that you put on the table last time. So the first thing I want to touch on is the fact that Judy has communicated to faculty, and I'm going to just give you the direct quote, though there are no quick fixes for compression, given the myriad of institutional concerns, I'm committed to continuing to analyze and address this issue as we move forward. And this is a quote from the foundation minutes. Quote, Dr. Benz authorized $300,000 of the university growth funds to address one-third of the faculty salary compression issue. And that's from the executive committee meeting minutes of the foundation for August 2012. Clearly the administration has stated that, you know, that we've only gone about a third of the way towards fixing compression. I also want to point again to the strategic plan that was distributed on June 14, 2012. I want to direct your attention to UWF Priority 2.2, which is to recruit, support, retain, and recognize dedicated, high-quality faculty who advance the mission, vision, and values of the university. The action plan is to develop and implement specific initiatives aimed at enhanced recruitment, retention, compensation, development, and celebration of high-quality faculty from diverse backgrounds who demonstrate a commitment to UWF values and contribute to UWF's mission and vision. And the third thing is I want to point to a recent PNJ article. It's from May 21st, 2013, where Judy Benz is quoted as saying that UWF has had one of the best budget years on record, and we look forward to putting these dollars to work for our region and the state. These investments will make our university and our community stronger, specifically in the area of job creation and retention. And right now, we've passed you this before, the Auditor General spreadsheet from all of the budgets, and I directed your attention to the unreserved money, which has gone from somewhere in the range of $13 million in 2005 to $51.8 million this year. And that's the money that the legislature, you know, pulled away from all the universities because they were hoarding. And so with that kind of unrestricted budget, we're having a real hard time getting our head around a $50,000, fund for compression. And I have Judy saying repeatedly, repeatedly referring to employees as things like our most treasured resource. I don't think that $50,000 really backs that up. And then another thing that, you know, we just can't get our head around is the fact that your proposal last time, is not even equivalent to Judy Benz's personal bonus and raise back in September. So she took a $40,000 bonus and a $15,000 recurring salary bump back in September 2012. And we're having a hard time reckoning that with the $50,000 proposal. And I guess the thing I want to understand is how do you justify your proposal last time? Like, how do you explain it? What's the rationale behind this?
Okay, First off, you know, one of the, you know, we have to understand the budget cycle. The reduction of the reserves, which, by the way, I never heard anybody at the legislature say they were reducing reserves because they were being hoarded or that they were excessive, because at the same time that they were scraping those reserves back to Tallahassee, they were saying, we're going to give it back to you. This isn't a permanent circumstance, but it's a quick fix because they had a multi-billion-dollar shortfall at the state level, and they needed to reach out and get money from wherever they could. And that was just cuts to them. They did the same thing to K through 12 schools. They did the same thing to everybody who takes their resources. But that impacted the 12-13 budget cycle. Out of the 12-13 budget cycle came the raise, like that's money out of that budget cycle, and also the money for compression. That's out of this same budget cycle. So, I mean, that's a lot of hits to 12-13. And so financially, looking at that picture, but at the same time wanting to do something about compression, we thought that what we put on the table, which was $195,000 benefit over 3 years minimum, is a good place to begin the process. And the key element, I think, that I hope you don't miss, is that we're willing to work with the UFF to bring in somebody who is an expert on actual salary and compression, that we're not shooting at this from an anecdotal perspective, but from a perspective that's actually systemic, researched, documented, and that we identify the existence and or extent of compression if it exists, and then to go forward in years 13, 14, and 14, 15, with what we propose to be a minimum, not a maximum. And with the knowledge of whatever this expert would come in and describe as the extent of the compression, we would sit back down at the table and work that out. You know, I hear numbers thrown around that I'm not quite sure where they come from. I think an argument could be made that compression is at $750,000. I think there's an argument that could be made that it's $195,000. We don't know. So what we're trying to do is move forward in a way that's going to address this situation seriously, but at the same time, deliberately. So that's, I guess, a quick explanation of our position and how we got to it.
Well, you do acknowledge that, you know, last year's negotiation was a last year's negotiation. Whatever, you know, pool of money you found to pay off the amounts for the last cycle of bargaining. I mean, we've been sitting at the table since November with a salary proposal on the table. And, you know, we get a response now of $50,000. And now you're claiming that it's because you've taken the money that was allocated for this year and spent it last year on...
No, I'm just saying that's a reality of our budget. I think you came in November, as I recall, because, I mean, I wasn't there, but this is what I understand, is you came in November with a wage proposal that was rejected. I mean, it wasn't ignored. It was actually rejected. And through the course of our subsequent meetings and conversations with other issues on the table, we've come to this.
Okay. I'm going to pass you our salary proposal.
Okay.
And I just want to make it clear that, you know, with these you have two things for you. The first thing is the salary proposal, and we're also going to insist on the severability waiver strike, and we'll agree to a go status quo on leaves and benefits. But I want to pass this across the table, and I guess what we've done is we've come down on the across the board ask from 2% to 1%. We've requested a pool of $600,000 in compression money to be distributed over the next 3 years, with at the administration's kind of discretion for how much they want to allocate in each year, so that it could be as little as $50,000, but no less than $50,000 a year. And when that 3 year period is up, that entire pool must be spent. And if it doesn't get spent on compression, if the two parties, if we agree that compression is resolved, then we just take the remainder of that fund and distribute it across the board, or however we decide to do that. I think that's, everything else is pretty much the same as our previous proposal, including the striking of ADI in favor of just the preservation of awards. And again, we want that severability waiver stricken as well.
Okay. I appreciate that.
There you go. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. Do you have another one of these for them?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Okay, and I know we've had this conversation, and we as I recall, disagreed about the effect of the strike in Article 31, and we also, I think, disagreed about whether or not it was appropriate or not for the contract. And I won't get into that conversation again because we've had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess let me ask this question of the UFF team. What is the concern that is driving the striking of B2? In other words, what scenario would you see happening as a result of B2 being struck that would not happen if it was in the contract? Or the vice versa, you can tell me the other way around. What you don't like about the language being in there that is not a problem because it's struck?
Well, I'm going to have to throw this over to Tom, and I think we've given you reasons before. I just, would rather have feel more comfortable having
we've had this discussion before. It's,
yeah.
If I could say it in a few words, Tea Party Governor.
Now, what does that mean?
It means you've got a radical fringe running the LaPorte legislature and the governor's office, and they turn their attention to us next year in the legislative session or the year after that and come after reduced deduction or try to gut the 447 and basically make it more meaningless. We want to be able to preserve our right to deduce deduction and the other things we have in the contract without the legislature trying to override what's in our contract. And we've had this discussion before. You have one view of severability. We have another view of severability, and whether it's a waiver. And at some point, I'm sure we'll resolve this issue somewhere else.
So if there's dues deduction language of the contract and it's struck from the statute, you would want to be able to retain it?
Correct.
But
that's just one example.
Yeah, okay. But let's say, for example, if the legislature, though, said, and I'm just trying to understand it, I'm not going to debate this, because I just want to be able to appreciate the initiative and why, the rationale for the initiative of taking this out of the contract. If the legislature were to, say that you had to have 7 years before you could be considered for tenure instead of six.
Could be is arguably a change in terms and conditions of employment. That's the legislature affecting our contract. They're impairing a right of contract.
And you don't think that would trigger an obligation to revisit the contract?
Well, absent that severability clause, no. We wouldn't have to address it until at least till the end of the term of the contract.
Okay. Well, and again, I'm not debating this. I'm just trying to understand it. What would happen if the legislature prohibited an activity, made it illegal?
Well, I think we would still have the same argument. If the act of making something illegal, whatever that might be, had the effect of changing this contract, then absent a severability clause, then the legislature can't impose that on us. The university couldn't impose the change, and we wouldn't be obligated to bargain the change.
And I want to go back to one thing with the salary article that I forgot to mention. We don't think it's necessary to bring in a consultant and hire yet another person to, you know, suck up more university resources to figure out a definition for compression. We both agreed last year to appoint three people from each, you know, on each side to determine the compression problem, establish a formula. They did a lot of work on this. And, you know, although, you know, we're not entirely happy with the formula and primarily because of the inclusion of market equity factors and all of that kind of stuff, which really works to the university's benefit, I think, you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel here. We will be happy to stick with the formula as it was used in the last compression allocation and we can live with that, as opposed to hiring more outside people to use up university resources. And that's the, you know, at least one version of the formula as it was produced last year and used last year.
Well, I think we're not envisioning this to be a very significant cost, and in terms of both fairness and reliability, we think it's money well spent.
You mean in terms of cost of the consultant? Do you have a ballpark figure?
We don't have a ballpark figure, but we weren't. You know, we have looked at. I mean, other universities have done similar things in the system, and have had good results as a.
Does the university have somebody in mind?
No. We were going to have the selection process be mutual with the UFF, so we didn't jump that gun.
Okay.
Do you have any idea what the other universities paid for this person?
I couldn't give you a number, but I know that they were pleased with the results and the cost. So. Okay, well, we'll take a coffee. Well, okay, this is something for us to think about, both in amount and administration. So we need to bring this back.
Okay.
And we'll respond to it next Monday.
All right, terrific. Okay.
And I guess that's that.
Thank you.
I have a person who works with me, Mark. Do you know Mark? Maybe you don't.